1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic
News
Media
app. Lionel Moise. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle caught up in a troubling encounter with paparazzi in New York City, a spokesperson describing it as a near-catastrophic car chase, as photographers followed the couple who were in a cab.
There are some questions about how dangerous the situation was. NYPD saying in a statement, numerous photographers made their transport challenging, but there were no reported collisions, summonses, injuries, or arrests. Still, New York's mayor called the actions by the paparazzi reckless and irresponsible.
You shouldn't be speeding anywhere, but this is a densely populated city. And I think all of us, I don't think there's many of us who don't recall how his mom died.
Diana in Paris in 1997, a reminder of her death, which Harry has openly blamed on the paparazzi.
ABC's Trevor Ault. New York City officials moved migrants out of a school gym after protests from parents. The asylum seekers were moved to long-term housing. This is ABC News. Montana has become the first state in the U.S. to completely ban TikTok, the state's Republican governor signing a measure that's more sweeping than any other state's attempts to restrict the social media app. The measure is expected to be challenged legally and will serve as a testing ground for the TikTok Free America many lawmakers are pushing for. A Hollywood star hopes to give you a laugh with her new streaming series, ABC's Jason Nathanson.
It's Patricia Arquette, Private Eye. The award-winning actress stars in the new series, High Desert.
I'm a natural detective.
Playing a woman dealing with a lot. Addiction, the loss of her mom, her husband in prison, and it's a comedy. Though she tells me labels like comedy and drama don't really matter much anymore.
But I do think it's a nice time for us to all laugh a little bit. The world's super heavy. We've all been through a lot. There's a lot of love in this show. People are looking for connections and a safe place.
The first three episodes of High Desert are out today on Apple TV Plus. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
Lionel Moise, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hello? I'm a Marine.
No matter how you served.
My buddies from the Army are all gone now. I'm really alone.
No matter what you're going through.
I keep getting calls about the bills, and I'm trying to get a job. I feel so stuck.
We are here for you. If you or a veteran in your life is experiencing thoughts of suicide, dial 988. Then press 1 to reach the Veterans Crisis Line.
Up US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Who's the most fun to drink with of the Republican lawmakers? Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
You can always let us know if you are drinking with lawmakers at 844-967-2789.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome to the noon hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry, along with Jane Madnair and Greg Bach on Wednesdays. And we are joined by Craig Gilbert, chronicler of close Wisconsin elections. He is a Luver Center Fellow at Marquette Law, and he is recently, I guess not so recently anymore, retired from being the Washington Bureau Chief and National Political Reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And so this is a guy who has covered a lot of Wisconsin elections, and we're so excited to have you on the show today, Craig. Welcome.
It's great to be with you.
And so I was interested, I mean, I've been wanting to get you on the show, but you still write for Milwaukee Journal Sentinel occasionally, and you had a couple leading up to and then directly after the Supreme Court election in April. But then you also put out one this month, I think a week ago, that basically was titled What 30 Years of Voting History Tells Us About Wisconsin's Shifting Suburban Vote. And so I wanted to, because you've looked at so many of the numbers for this, and we're sitting in Waukesha right now and kind of walking through what the suburbs look like these days and where they've come from. And so I guess the first question kind of is, like, what do we actually consider the suburbs of Wisconsin?
So good question. And that's one reason why I wrote the column. I mean, we talk about the suburbs like they're sort of a thing, like they're an entity. There's no definition of a suburb. You know, the government uses sort of different classifications for suburbs. There's so many different ways to kind of slice and dice this. But part of the point of the column is that even though, you know, on the whole, the suburban vote is quite competitive and it's, you know, much more purple than the rural vote, quote unquote, or the urban vote. But that suburban vote includes some really, really red places, including in the Wow counties, and some really, really blue places on the outskirts of Milwaukee and Madison. So you really got to kind of drill down and look at the political diversity of these suburban areas, as well as how they're trending and shifting over time.
Because, like, I think this is always interesting in a place like Wisconsin, where there is, you know, it's unlike our neighbors to the south of Illinois, there is Chicago, and there's a bunch of suburbs around Chicago. And then, like, the rest of the state is like a third, maybe a fourth of the population. But here we have Milwaukee, we have Madison, but then we have a lot of cities that are cities onto themselves. Mm-hmm. So it's like, is Wausau is not a suburb, but it's the same size as Brookfield, and Brookfield is definitely a suburb, right?
Yeah, I mean, I said my definition of a suburb, you know, it has to be in a metropolitan area. And I'm looking at, you know, the major metropolitan areas of Wisconsin, because that's where you have sort of the most suburban communities. And so, you know, if you look at, you know, the biggest suburban, you know, swatch in the state is around Milwaukee, but that includes some very different kinds of places. You've also got the suburbs of Madison. You've got suburbs outside Green Bay and Appleton. And then you got a sort of a small cluster of outer suburbs in western Wisconsin that are kind of on the periphery of Minnesota's Twin Cities. But most of that suburban vote, certainly the biggest chunk, is in the Milwaukee metropolitan area. And then you've got these sort of growing suburbs outside of Madison as well.
And so, as you said, there is, it's basically where the most varied partisan spectrum still survives in Wisconsin, because the metro areas being pretty reliably blue and the rural areas being pretty reliably red. But between the different suburbs, or what we've defined as suburbs, or you did in your article, what are kind of the trends that make certain places still more red versus leaning more blue, as far as either income, industry, like demographics?
So demographics, it's interesting because, you know, demographics tell you a lot, but there's also a limit to what they can tell you. I mean, I always used to marvel at the fact that if you looked at Dane County and Ozaukee County side by side, in some ways they have pretty similar demographics historically. They're both very white. They're both among, you know, at the top of sort of income and education in among the state's counties. And yet for decades, you know, Dane County was pretty much the bluest significant county in Wisconsin. And Ozaukee County for a long time was the reddest, but they had a lot in common demographically. So obviously demographics doesn't determine everything. Yeah. I mean, you have to look at, you mentioned political culture. I mean, obviously it sort of makes sense that the suburbs around Madison are going to be pretty liberal, given the presence of state government, the presence of the university, the kinds of, you know, industries and businesses that spin off of having the university there. It, you know, when you think about it, it makes sense that those suburbs are blue and getting increasingly blue.
And so what has been kind of the main, I guess, the main thesis from what, looking at data from the last 30 years, have you summed up as far as what's changed?
Yeah, so what's changed is, for a long time, you know, the suburbs were kind of spinning apart in Wisconsin. For example, you know, the blue suburbs around Milwaukee and Madison were just getting continuously bluer. And the WOW counties, you know, the three Republican suburban counties, were getting redder and redder in relation to the rest of the state. This was going on from in the 1990s and the 2000s and into the 2010s. And then about 8 years ago, after the 2014 election, you know, we're kind of talking about 2016 to 2023. You could sort of call that the Trump era if you want to. Mm-hmm. That trend changed, that pattern changed. And what's happening is now they're all kind of moving in the same direction. They're all becoming collectively, you know, more favorable to the Democratic Party, for the Democratic Party, which means some of those red areas are getting less red and those blue areas are getting bluer. Now, it's happening quite dramatically in some of these suburban communities. Like, the speed with which Ozaukee County is getting less red is kind of head turning. Other places like Washington County, which is more blue collar than Ozaukee County, isn't really changing much. I mean, the Republican leaning suburbs around Green Bay are getting a little less Republican, but not dramatically so. But together, this turf on the whole used to be quite favorable for Republicans, and now it's pretty much up for grabs.
We're talking to Craig Gilbert, who is a Lubar Center Fellow at Marquette Law and was also the former Washington Bureau Chief and National Political Reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, about his most recent article about the changing, evolving suburbs of Wisconsin and their voting habits. And I guess, and I don't know if the data you looked at tells you this, because what you just said, as far as if there is one trend, it is that the suburban areas are getting bluer in varying degrees. But how much of that is the makeup and the attitudes changing of the people who are living in these areas versus the Republican Party changing?
So I think we have examples of both. Okay. I mean, if you think about, again, the growth of the Dane County suburbs, a lot of new people coming in, They vote Democratic. If you look at some of the, even the inner suburbs north of Milwaukee, some of these suburbs have really changed a lot over time. They used to be actually red, and now some of them are really, really blue. So clearly the composition of the electorate in some of these places, in some suburban communities, they're getting more racially diverse, and that's having an impact on how they vote. But then when you look at, you know, when you look at the WOW counties and you look at parts of Waukesha and Ozaukee County, where the changes we're talking about, this sort of trend of getting less red, has been so dramatic so recently that it can't be explained through population shifts, because the population hasn't changed enough, mm-hmm. you know, to cause an area to go from, you know, plus 35 Republican to plus 15 Republican in a few years. So I look there, I mean, the most sort of persuasive explanation there for me in these cases is people are reacting to the parties and they're reacting to changes in the parties. And obviously the biggest change sort of in the partisan landscape in this period of time we're talking about has been sort of Donald Trump and the image of the Republican Party being so closely connected to Donald Trump. And just as that has made the Republican Party more attractive for some rural voters, it's making it less attractive for some suburban voters.
And because that's what I think is so interesting of, like, how much does this still, especially when we see like the 11-point win in April for Judge Janet, how much does that hinge on just that one issue versus, you know, the same people in the WOW counties who gave Scott Walker a decidedly, like, very much put him in the office, you know, also then voted for the person who could undo Act 10. And so is it, like you said, like the reaction to the party, or is it's kind of this one big issue that is floating over our state so long as we have a 1849 criminal abortion ban?
Yeah, so abortion is a big deal. And obviously it's, you know, it is certainly a significant part of the dynamic when you look at, you know, post-Dobbs, you look at the 2022 November election and you look at the 2023 spring election. Abortion is definitely a real, very real part of the story. And it's going to be a very real part of the story going forward. On the other hand, if you look at these trends, when you step back and look at them over a longer period of time, and you look again, sort of go back to the erosion of Republican strength in these Republican suburban counties, that began well before Dobbs. I mean, the sort of 2014 election, Walker's final victorious election, was sort of the high water mark. 2012 presidential and 2014 governor, kind of the high water mark for Republican strength in the WOW counties. And then, you know, it changed, and it started changing with the 2016 presidential election. Then it continued in the 2018 midterms, and it continued in the 2020 election. And so that all happened before Dobbs. You could say it maybe happened for some related reasons. And obviously the Dobbs decision is in its own way a legacy of the Trump presidency.
Absolutely. We got to go to a break really quickly, Craig, but we're going to still be here with Craig Gilbert when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
What's buried in the back pages was on the front just yesterday. And old news never dies, no, they say it just fades away. Crime and murder, business and politics, and international strife. It's all the same, find someone to blame. It's there in black and white. It's all the same.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
People, they know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. Or I meet politicians.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. We are joined by Craig Gilbert, who is a Lubar Center Fellow at Marquette Law School and was the Washington Bureau Chief and National Political Reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel for a very long time. He's a chronicler of close elections in Wisconsin. And so we're talking about the changing voting habits of the suburbs. And I guess with everything you've kind of documented and analyzed with the data, if I were a political operative or campaign manager of either party, what should people be taking from this change or this data as far as the approach to continue to try to win statewide elections in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so the first thing is, I think from the Republican side, it's going to be very hard to win statewide elections consistently unless you can stop the slide in the suburbs, because there's just, I'm not sure there's enough votes in rural Wisconsin to keep offsetting these growing deficits in the suburbs. And I'm not sure the inroads are there in urban Wisconsin to offset whatever, what the suburban losses have been. So I think you have to stop the slide. Now, what does that mean?
Yeah.
That could mean a lot of different things. I mean, it could be sort of dealing more successfully with the issue of abortion. I think more broadly, it means probably, there's a lot of talk on the Republican side about kind of moving on from Trump, about, kind of a post-Trump Republican Party. That's going to be very tricky. But if your diagnosis is that Trump is hurting the party with these voters, you have to kind of come to grips with that. And whether it's finding the right candidates or whether it's, somehow changing the image of the party in these areas while retaining your support, in the Trumpier parts of the state, that's a real trick. And it's not easy to do. It takes some real skilled political leadership to pull that off.
And it seems too, Craig, like, the GOP is in a real sticky spot when it comes to the Dobbs decision, because this has been their goal for decades and decades. And now to try and back away from this and moderate some of the effects of this 1849 ban, then you're just going to tick off all the people that you've been promising you would do this for.
Exactly. That's why it's kind of a dilemma. It's tricky. And in Wisconsin, obviously, you have the added kind of element of what does the state Supreme Court do? Mm-hmm. It has been kind of a trap for Republicans. And, obviously we've seen the effects in 2022 and in the Supreme Court election in 2023. And it's sort of double jeopardy when you put it in the context of some of these broader trends we've been talking about.
I think that when it comes to, like, as far as the campaign managers and the political operatives, I think from the Democratic side, seeing this slide and seeing different communities going from very red to starting to show blue is getting into those communities, knocking on doors and having conversations with the people that they were afraid to talk to 5-10 years ago because they were like, well, this is Waukesha. It's red. We're not going to bother with the resources. Now there's proof that shows it's not all red. So why don't we try to find some inroads? But to do that, you got to really put yourself into those communities then and talk to them. Now, Republicans can do the same thing. But I think like what Craig was saying is that they're about reshaping their entire message right now, which is going to be harder to do, especially when Trump is on CNN as the only guy running for president, seems like, at a town hall, whereas Democrats can go in and be like, all right, we're going to talk to the people instead. You guys can do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. We're going to just have a conversation. I think that's the most important thing they can do is finding good candidates and talking to the people who live in those communities.
Well, I guess
yeah, Democrats have their challenges too. I mean, for some suburban voters who are more fiscally conservative, and we've seen in other recent elections around the country, areas where Democrats have been kind of on the wrong side of issues ranging from education to crime in some elections where suburban voters play a big role, you know, the Virginia governor's race, for one. So Democrats have their challenges. I think for Republicans, the degree to which the landscape has shifted from economic issues to cultural issues and the fact that a lot of suburban voters are, you know, more moderate culturally, I think that's part of the challenge for Republicans in these places.
So then one of the lines that I loved, or at least the two questions you asked in your article that are a little different than just suburbs in general, but you asked, does participation fuel division? Does division boost participation? Have you been able to answer either of those questions?
I think division fuels participation. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, it's so funny when you go back. I mean, as you mentioned, I've been doing this for a long time, and people used to the complaints of political scientists and analysts about politics where people were apathetic and they don't really have coherent ideologies or points of view. And now we're living in an age when people are really partisan and really political and they turn out like mad to vote. And that feels like a problem. So all of this stuff seems to go together.
Absolutely. And I said the same thing with, you know, with all the money in this last race. I was like, I know we hate this outside money and how much, and it feels like a waste because it just goes to media companies. But also, we had record turnout. And I don't think you can totally ignore that everyone knew there was an election going on.
The people we wanted to win won.
Yeah.
Oopsies.
All right. Well, Craig Gilbert, thank you so much for spending time with us today. We will absolutely have you back and follow your work because it is never boring in the state of Wisconsin when it comes to politics.
Anytime.
Have a great day. All right. Thanks. When we come back, Scott Gordon, publisher of Tone Magazine, will be here when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
That's a thrill. All together fits the bill. Oh, newspapermen are such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the globe. Now, publishers are such interesting people. Their policy is an acrobatic thing. They claim to represent the common people. It's funny, Wall Street never has complained. Ah, but publishers have worries, for publishers must go to working folks for readers and to big shots for their dough. Now, publishers are such interesting people. It could be prostitution, I don't know. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, circulation, ting-a-ling-a-ling, advertising, get those readers, get that payoff. What a headache, what a mess. Oh, publishers are such interesting people. Let's give three cheers for freedom of the press. What a headache, what a mess. Oh,
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle caught up in a troubling encounter with paparazzi in New York City, a spokesperson describing it as a near-catastrophic car chase, as photographers followed the couple who were in a cab.
There are some questions about how dangerous the situation was. NYPD saying in a statement, numerous photographers made their transport challenging, but there were no reported collisions, summonses, injuries, or arrests. Still, New York's mayor called the actions by the paparazzi reckless and irresponsible.
You shouldn't be speeding anywhere, but this is a densely populated city. And I think all of us, I don't think there's many of us who don't recall how his mom died.
Diana in Paris in 1997, a reminder of her death, which Harry has openly blamed on the paparazzi.
ABC's Trevor Ault. New York City officials moved migrants out of a school gym after protests from parents. The asylum seekers were moved to long-term housing. This is ABC News.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold. 1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats. And there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown. Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW. And on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
So much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She's Jane Metnair. What song was that?
That is "This Government Needs an Update" by the Beastie.
Yeah, those. That was the. Ooh, gosh. Those boys of Beastie.
Yeah,
they're going places.
And that is Greg Bach that you just heard. And we are joined by Scott Gordon, who is the editor in chief and publisher of Tone Madison, an independent website covering culture and politics in Madison, and longtime Twitter follower of me. I follow you. I think you follow me. So fun to actually finally meet you in person.
Yeah, but nice not in person. To meet you. Thanks for having me.
Face to face. So you was this last week? This month? This month you published this article.
Yeah, May 1st.
May 1st. So you published, and it's Wisconsin's local governments need to unapologetically bring the war on preemption. And you basically are saying that now with Protasiewicz's election and win, that one of the things Democrats need to do is challenge the outrageous attack that we've been living under on local government. Is that a fair summation?
Yeah, more or less, you know. And I mean, a lot of the things I'm talking about, of course, were passed, you know, were implemented under Scott Walker. Mm-hmm. You know, there was just this raft of preemption laws that the legislature rammed through to, you know, stick it to cities and more liberal areas. But there are things that predate that that are preemptions that I think we should also get rid of. I mean, there's stuff I talk about in the story that Jim Doyle signed. So it's sort of like rolling back some of the things of the Walker era would be nice, but also, you know, a general reset for how local governments are able to address their problems.
So if they want to. But so I said, this is because actually, like, reading your article and when you put out the whole list is actually pretty powerful as far as in like kind of thinking of them as one-offs. So this is what you included. Wisconsin's local governments currently cannot enact tighter regulations on landlords and rental properties than what is already provided in state law. They cannot enact rent control, period. They can't set minimum wages higher than the state minimum wage at $7.25 an hour. They're barred from creating all sorts of other local protections for workers, including requirements for overtime pay and benefits. They're essentially prohibited from creating public broadband services that have any hope of competing with private monopolies. They can't ban plastic bags. They can't regulate Lyft or Uber. They can't raise property taxes beyond state-imposed limits. Even the state's shared revenue system for municipalities puts them in a bind. No local gun laws. And then just recently, they've proposed new limits on local government's authority to regulate energy sources, a ban on guaranteed income programs like the one happening in Madison that they're currently piloting. And in 2021 proposal was the penalized cities that cut funding for police. And so when you put it all together, like, I think, because I also think there's stuff with like surface lots and how much the city can charge for like parking. Because I remember in Milwaukee, we've always been thinking, like, how can Milwaukee raise more revenue? And it's like, nope, the state actually controls that too. And so, like, how did we get here? And do you think the average resident realizes that it's not like this in other places?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like we were saying, I mean, part of it was the, was the Republicans having control over the legislature and, Scott Walker being in office for all that time and them getting to just blow through this gigantic wish list of right-wing policies. I think one thing that I link back to in the story is a Journal Sentinel story from 2019 that is really great and something I've ended up kind of looking back to a lot recently. And it's all about the landlords who serve in the Wisconsin legislature, including but not limited to Robin Voss, who have created all these laws that benefit landlords and essentially benefit themselves. And there's a great part in the piece that says, call it the landlord's legislature. And it's something I'd recommend reading because it's just great context. But it's something that I've been thinking a lot about here in Madison because we are dealing with really a crisis in rental housing and just housing in general. You know, the city needs to create more housing units. Rents are really squeezing people. It was a huge, central issue in our latest local election, which I talked about a bit last time I was on your show with Dan Schaefer guest hosting. And I think part of it, especially with the all the rental preemption stuff, is that it impacts people who are considered like negligible or powerless in a lot of contexts, right? Even on the local level, when there's debates over housing, there's all kinds of mechanisms that tend to give people who own their homes a lot of political clout compared to people who rent. I mean, so part of this is just like it affects poor renters and even not so poor renters, but and I think another thing is that we're just so kind of demoralized by all of this that people have kind of lost sight of the fact that like something better is possible. And when I talk about the war on preemption, I'm talking about something that should happen, and I'm not so sure that it will, or if this is something that people are focusing a lot of energy or attention on who are actually in power.
You know, we had the Cap Times ran a great cover story today by Allison Garfield that's all about why rents are going up in Madison. And the way that officials in the story talk about it, you know, is that, you know, all we can really try to do is build more housing, which is something that needs to happen anyway, mm-hmm. create more, you know, subsidized and public housing. And there isn't really a lot of talk about like, well, let's, you know, let's go to the state and try to get some of these things lifted so that we have more options, you know, and more tools. So, I mean, that sense of kind of like resignation and, oh, we're kind of in a bind with this is, you know, kind of understandable with the way that things have gone in this state and in this country, but is, you know, not productive at a certain point.
We're talking to Scott Gordon, who is the editor-in-chief and publisher of Tone Madison, which is a website covering culture and politics in Madison. But so much of this article, I know you speak from a Madison point of view, but certainly we've had different journalists who cover landlords and some of the pervasive like exploitation that happens in Milwaukee. And I know affordable housing everywhere in Wisconsin is an issue right now. And as we have this like shared revenue battle of kind of back against the wall, like either take it or leave it, potential situation, like it, I think it was really important to highlight this as far as it doesn't have to be this way. And so I guess with in writing this and kind of referencing a turning point being with Protus Sewitz, who will be inaugurated in August, is it hinged on like being able to push back on like preemption like this or what you're calling for? Is it hinged on new maps, or is there also legal routes to challenge some of these things that have nothing to do with the maps?
Well, I would argue, and I, you know, didn't get it super into the weeds with legal strategy on in this piece because that's really not my kind of area of expertise. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of more getting into like what I want people to do with the power that they have, you know. But I would argue that with some things, the Wisconsin Constitution, while it does give the state legislature pretty broad power to, you know, pass preemption laws, it also talks about local governments having the ultimate kind of having some power in their own affairs, of course. And it says, you know, the legislature has the ultimate power when it comes to matters of statewide concern. And when you think about that, that is really broad terminology, you know, and you could kind of fudge it to argue that anything is statewide. So, you know, could the courts kind of say like, hey, the legislature has to apply this idea of a statewide concern in a way that's a little less indiscriminate? You know, I mean, someone saying like, oh, Madison has too many regulations on landlords or, you know, or this city, we don't want them banning plastic bags. I think it's a bit of a stretch to call that a matter of statewide concern. So yeah, that's one aspect. And the other thing is like, you know, if anything is, if we learned anything the last, you know, 10 years or so, it's that if the Wisconsin Supreme Court wants to be just really brazen and political about things, it can kind of just do what it wants. And, you know, maybe, you know, I think, I mean, there's a point where people are going to have to like, if we're going to like push back against, you know, all the different specific policies that, you know, Republicans have ramped through in Wisconsin and, you know, all the, you know, problems that they created with, you know, just sort of the erosion of democracy. And if we're going to push back against this like broader, you know, rise of, you know, kind of fascism in America, then people are going to have the stomach to kind of use their power in a way that's a little more brazen to push back against this, you know, this kind of stuff. I just don't see sitting around and waiting for all of the parties involved to like just kind of follow the rules and be polite at some point isn't going to work. So yeah, I'm essentially saying that cities should get together and sue to have a bunch of this stuff thrown out, and that the incoming majority on the court should throw it out. And you know, it's obviously no guarantee of what happens in higher courts as things get appealed through there, but it just seems like, you know, something that they've got to kind of bring the fight on.
And so I guess, because you end it We need to take back the power for our communities. We need to use it to improve quality of life for the people struggling in our cities. We need to do with we need to do all with big goals, a caring vision, and no apologies. And I guess when you say that, who is we?
I mean, I guess if you wanted to put it in the most idealistic terms possible, then just like, you know, the people of the states as as a body, you know, which I know is kind of broad, but just like, but you know, also people who haven't felt, who haven't been well served or well represented, you know, especially in, you know, the last decade or so of Wisconsin politics, and in some cases people who haven't been well served or well represented in politics ever. I mean, just people who are trying to build something that isn't, you know, restricted by the values of you know of the right, if you can call them values.
So I feel like, because is it then, because I mean I've read it and it makes a lot of sense, like the more, like since coming back and understanding like the list of things we just said, like what cities can and cannot do, and just this like controlling like nanny state of like, well no, we get to decide because we're in charge. That feels really frustrating, but it feels like it's not top of mind for a lot of voters. And so, like, is it become, like, more thought pieces like this or, like, more organizational campaigns? Or, like, what are, like, the actual steps to get people, like, angry and fired up about this, do you think?
I mean, connecting this to things that people are already fired up about and are trying to rally around, I mean, especially in a place like Madison, you know, the housing issue, people, there's already been some momentum to make some good, you know, policy changes at the local level that would help, you know, create like more density and create more housing stock. Mm-hmm. I would argue that doesn't go like anywhere near far enough, but kind of saying like, hey, this sort of, you know, admittedly kind of like obscure mechanism that Republicans have used is really important. And I mean, another thing that we've obviously learned a lot about from the Walker era is that Republicans were smart enough to realize that all these sorts of unsexy forms of state government power were really, really useful. And, you know, and they built up their power in that department and then used it, you know, as blatantly as possible. So just kind of, I'm not sure how well that answers the question, yeah. But I think it's, you know, these are things that you can really connect, you know, directly to things that are materially affecting people's lives right now. I mean, everyone I know in Madison who is like, you know, scrambling to look for housing for, you know, for August and dealing with rising rents and just feeling the pinch. I mean, that's a huge problem here. And to be able to say like, we should challenge this so that we have the latitude to do something, you know, to fix these problems, and we should, you know, push our local officials to actually stick up for us on these things.
I gotta cut you off against the break, but Scott Gordon, thank you so much for joining us. Check out Tone Madison. We'll put the link in our show notes for today. Thanks so much for joining us, Scott.
Thank you so much.
All right, have a great day. We'll be back in a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be back in a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes.
Good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. He is Greg Bach. And we got Brewers tickets to give away.
Yes, da, 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 da. We do.
This is, feels so fun. Like 10th caller gets... It's not 10th caller, but you know what I mean? Like that old-timey radio thing of like, you know, you have it.
Is this the first time we're giving tickets away when you're here?
Yeah.
Oh, super
fun.
That feels
so special.
Well, the Brewers will be hosting the Houston Astros in Milwaukee next Monday through Wednesday. And we have two pairs of two tickets. Yep. So that's what a pair is. We have two pairs of tickets to give away for Monday's game. The first pitch is at 6:40 p.m. And a reminder, you can hear the Brewers game, if you can't go to the Brewers game, on our Milwaukee Brewers by tuning into our flagship Brewers station, Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM and 1100 AM, which is throughout the Fox Valley. Wow. And you can also listen and catch the game on WRCE News from the Center in Richland Center on 107.7 FM, 1450 AM. And so we are going to do, because you are a big Brewers fan.
I am a big Brewers fan.
That is, you don't know who A.J. Dillon is, but
who cares?
You do like the Brewers.
Yeah.
And so I thought I'd let you come up with a trivia question. And so we'll see if we can get someone to, you had an easy one though, right?
Yeah. I feel like it's an easy one. We'll see though. If people complain, I'm going to blame this on A.J. Dillon.
Blame it on A.J. Dillon and his new baby.
And the rain. I'm going to blame it on the rain. Okay, the question is, for two tickets
for Monday night's game at 6:40.
Against the Houston Cheaters. The Brewers were originally from which city?
Okay.
The Brewers were originally from which city?
844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. The first caller... to get that question right, we'll win tickets for Monday night. And actually, maybe you'll see Greg Bach at the game, because Greg Bach will be at the game on Monday night.
I will be there.
I wonder if you can win these, because we have really good tickets.
Really?
They're club level.
I want. Oh, what?
Yeah. The Civic Media tickets are club level.
Can I just say, hey, higher ups, can I have some good tickets?
I think, well, you have to listen to my show, actually, you're not here.
Wrong.
And then you can win them.
No, that's not how this works. I get to exploit my connections. Because my friends who work in radio, they're like, hey, you want some tickets? I got tickets to the show. You want to go see a show? Yeah, just give me tickets. Hey, higher ups at Civic Media, money, please. Tickets, please. I'm a Brewers fan. I'll do it. I'll go to the game. I'll wear a t-shirt for the radio station. Give me some good tickets.
Okay.
I've got real, real animated about that.
All right. Well, we're going to keep it open. So what's the question?
The question is, the Milwaukee Brewers were originally from which city?
All right. So if we don't get a question, we still have two more days before Monday. So we can give, if we don't get an answer, then we'll try to give them away tomorrow, or we'll give them away on Friday. But today we are doing a trivia question, because that's the rules for today.
844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. There we go.
Yeah.
But anyway, so you're going to the game.
I am going to the game. I don't know what kind of
seats. How many
games
have you gone to so far this year?
Just one. I've gone to one so far. And we lost.
And we lost a lot the other day.
I do not want to talk about that.
Okay.
Because I have a friend who's a Cardinals fan, And oh, the messages she was sending me were so passive aggressive. She's like, I'm loving this. I'm like, I will come to your home.
Is that passive aggressive or is that just rubbing it in?
Yeah, it's because you're right. You're right. She was rubbing it in, but she was like this is really fun. Because the Cardinals this season have been monumentally terrible. Like, awful.
Oh.
This is not a Brewers fan saying that. This is a human who can read numbers. They've been bad. But they crushed the Brewers 18-1.
Yeah, I was going to say 18 is remarkable. I mean,
and then she goes, well, maybe that'll be all the runs we score in the series. I'm like, well, maybe that should be all the runs you score in the month. 18-1. That's just it. I feel like at 15, you call the game. You just call the game.
Like the mercy rules elementary school.
Hey, everybody, just, you know.
Do they have mercy rules in professional sports?
No, they do not. No, they do not.
That would be something to see, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
Like, all these pros, just take your bat and go home. It's over.
Do we think? What's an interesting question? How do you feel about mercy rules for kids' sports?
I mean,
at what age or what level of competition are mercy rules? It's like, too bad, you gotta get embarrassed now. Sorry.
I think below high school there should be some, like, there should be varying levels. So like, they're little kids, yes, and it should be a quick death. Just like, oh, this team is winning 20-1 and we've been playing for 4 minutes. Game's over. Get your orange slices. We ain't coming back. But I think in high school and above, no mercy rules. You should just...
So freshman volleyball, no mercy rules.
No, especially volleyball, never mercy. I'm a competitive player in the volleyball.
Are you? Oh,
a different Greg comes about.
I didn't know that you liked volleyball. I'm, for as tall as I am, terrible at volleyball.
I sack the bot all the time when I play the volleyball.
Interesting. Once again, we are giving away Brewers tickets. Between now and the end of the show, the first person to be able to answer the question.
The Milwaukee Brewers were originally from which city?
So if you can answer that question, you can win tickets for a Monday's night game at 6:40 p.m. against the Houston Cheaters, also known as the Houston Astros. And you can always listen to the Milwaukee Brewers on Civic Media's flagship Brewers station, Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, 1100 AM. And listeners can also listen to the Brewers on WRCE News from the News from the Center, Richland Center, 107.7 FM, 1450 AM. Do we have a contestant?
Mike from Stevens Point joining us on Ask Us Wisconsin. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
We're doing great. Do you know?
Mike, do you want me to restate the question? I will restate the question. Mike, the Milwaukee Brewers were originally from which city?
Seattle, Washington, I believe.
Ding, 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 ding. Correct.
Well done.
Congratulations, Mike. Coming in from Stevens Point.
Do we state another question for the other pair of tickets then? Or is just two tickets we're giving away?
We're just two tickets. We'll give two tickets away tomorrow.
Mike, you are the winner. You're going to take me, right? I knew it, Mike. No? Okay. Awesome. Cut him off. He's done.
All right.
Mike, don't hang up.
Yeah, Mike, Jane will get all your information for Monday night, but have so much fun.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Enjoy.
All right, well then, we are going to take a break for the top of the hour news. And when we come back, Rabbi Moshe Stegman is going to be here, and we're going to talk about his organization, Own Your Judaism. And then at 1:30, we're actually going to be talking to Lindsay Rausch, who is part of the Galvin family, who has of a family of 12 kids, six of whom were diagnosed with schizophrenia. And so she has an incredible story, and that's actually what was featured in the best-selling book, Hidden Valley Road. And so she will be joining us at 1:30. So stick around. We still got a lot of show left. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Of course, but keep that old horse before the car. Who minds them pop bottles flying? The hisses and boos.
The team has been consistent.
Yeah, we always lose,
but who minds them pop bottles flying?
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help.
Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media
ABC
app.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes.